And now, Don Blackwell.
Malachi 2:16 says that God hates divorce. And yet I read statistics this week that said that in the United States of America in 1997, 50% of all marriages ended in divorce. It said that 60% of all second marriages ended in divorce. Friends, there is a serious problem in the world today in relation to the home. Homes are being broken right and left. New marriages are being begun without the sanction of God. Marriages that do not have the approval of the Lord. Children end up being passed back and forth on weekends between divorced parents living in different households. And many individuals know nothing at all about what God has to say about marriage. Many of them do not care. And so we see that the Lord, that which the Lord hates, divorce, it's being practiced as commonplace. Ladies and gentlemen, that is why it is so crucial that we spend some time today studying what God has to say about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We're going to take our study today from the book of Matthew, chapter 19. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. To begin our study, I want to notice the background of this question. We will read about it in the first three verses of Matthew chapter 19. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, and saying to him, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?'" Now, friends, the text says the Pharisees came to Jesus, tempting him. Now, immediately we learn that the question they were asking was not from a pure motive. They weren't asking because they sincerely wanted to know the answer to the question. They were asking because they hoped to trap Jesus. Among the Jews of that day, the people were greatly divided on the question of marriage and divorce. There were two schools of thought among the Jewish leaders. One school of thought was from the school of Hillel, a Jewish rabbi. This school of thought taught that a man could divorce his wife for any reason, for the slightest offense, even if he just disliked her person or her manners. And they based their opinion on Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 1, where it says that if she finds no favor in his eyes, that he may write her a certificate of divorce. Now, that was one school of thought. A man may divorce his wife for any reason. The second school of thought was based on the reasoning of the school of Shammai. Those holding to that line of thought believed that a man could only divorce his wife if she had committed adultery. And very interesting, they based their thinking on the same passage of Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 1, but the part of the text that says, "Because he has found some uncleanness in her, he may put her away." They interpreted this uncleanness to refer to adultery. And so these Pharisees came to Jesus not looking for the truth, not sincerely wanting to know about marriage and divorce, but hoping to trap Jesus. They hoped to turn one of these groups against him. And so they ask him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" I want you to notice how Jesus answers this question. He goes back and deals with the origin of marriage. Let's notice verses 4 through 6. "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate.'" Jesus asked them, "Have you not read?" They came to him asking a question about marriage and divorce. And Jesus went back to the source of authority. Jesus did not say, "Well, I think." Jesus did not answer by saying, I feel, or it seems to me. Jesus did not say, well, my opinion would be this. Jesus said, have you not read? Friends, this is very significant. Jesus went back to the source of authority on marriage, and that is the written Word of God. You know, this seems to me like it ought to be an obvious thing to do. But many people do not do that. Many people seem to turn to everything except the Bible to make decisions concerning marriage. I was preaching for a congregation a few years ago, and I had a man call the church building one day, and he asked if I would perform his marriage. The man told me he had been married 3 times previously, and now he was getting married a 4th time and wanted me to perform the ceremony. And incidentally, all of his previous wives had all put him away. I told the man I could not perform that marriage because he had no scriptural right to be married. God would not recognize this marriage as being a valid one. You know what he said in response to this? He said, this woman I'm going to marry is a good woman. He said, she is a wonderful person. Friends, apparently, in his reasoning, the fact that she was a good woman would make it okay. Jesus did not appeal to emotions in this way. He did not use strange reasoning or feelings. Jesus said, have you not read that he that made them at the beginning made them male and female? Jesus went back to the very beginning to show us the pattern for marriage. Let's go back to the beginning and see what Jesus is referring to. In the beginning, Adam is alone in the Garden of Eden. And Genesis 2:15 says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Verse 19 says, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. And so Adam gave names to all of the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But listen to this. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Verse 21, the text says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Friends, this is what Jesus was pointing back to when the Pharisees came and asked him about marriage and divorce. He went back to the creation of the first man and the first woman and talked about the first marriage that ever existed. Why did he do that? Because God's principles had not changed on the subject. All right, back to Matthew 19. Look at verse number 6 of our text. In verse number 6, Jesus says, so then they are no longer two, but one flesh. You know, the question sometimes arises, when are two people actually married? Are they actually married at the conclusion of the wedding ceremony, or is sexual union what constitutes a marriage? Friends, absolutely the answer to this question must be when the ceremony is finished and the marriage license is signed, they are married. Otherwise, you have a man and a woman who are going to spend their first night together on their honeymoon, and they're not even husband and wife. Brother Robert Taylor wrote, if they are not married before actual cohabitation, then any previous preliminaries would be lascivious and thus sinful. Well, Jesus said, they are no longer two but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, God joins a man and woman together in marriage. What God has joined together, let not man separate. You know, it's very interesting to me that when the Pharisees came to Jesus asking, for what reason can a man divorce his wife? Jesus' answer was, don't divorce. He said, what God has joined together, let not man separate. You know, I'm afraid that perhaps some of us have fallen into a trap. That when someone comes suggesting that they're going to divorce their mate, we may be quick to start explaining divorce rights from Matthew 19:9. But when the Pharisees came to Jesus asking about divorce, Jesus said, don't divorce. God never intended for such to be the case. Friends, before any two people get a divorce, there are certain things that they need to be aware of. Number one, they need to understand that God hates divorce, Malachi 2:16. Number two, they need to understand that Jesus said from the beginning it was not so. God intended that a man and woman stay together until death. Do they part? Matthew 19 and verse 8, also verse 6. Number three, they need to think very seriously, very soberly about the vow that they made to their husband or to their wife. Friends, those vows are very serious, and they're not to be treated lightly. Ecclesiastes 5 says, do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for He has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Now, the context of Ecclesiastes 5 is different, but the point is the same. Honor your vows. Well, when the Jews asked Jesus concerning divorce, He essentially said, don't divorce. The Pharisees may have thought, all right, we have caught Him now. He says, don't divorce, but Moses said it was okay. This leads us to the controversy. I want you to notice verse 7 of our text. They said to Him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Friends, Jesus said that when God designed the home and the institution of marriage, He never intended for it to be corrupted as men had done so. He never intended for men to get tired of their wives and to put them away. He never intended for adultery to take place and fornication to occur. Men have brought about this corruption. And Moses, he said, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered divorce. But this is not the way it was from the beginning. I want you to notice now the exception to the rule. Look at verse 9 of the text. And I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, and I say unto you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Let me restate what Jesus is saying here. He is saying that he who puts away his wife and remarries another commits adultery. This is the rule. He who puts away his wife for any reason and marries someone else commits adultery. Now there's one exception to the rule. He gives one exception to this rule. That exception is the one who puts away his wife for fornication. The New King James says sexual immorality. Now what is fornication? What does this word mean? The word fornication is from the Greek word porneia. It refers to illicit sexual intercourse. The word includes a wide range of things. Certainly, it includes adultery. It includes homosexual relations. And the exception that Jesus gives, fornication, is the only one that would allow a man to divorce his wife and remarry again without living in adultery. So let's say that a man in the first century got married. And a few years down the road, the man decides to divorce his wife. Later, he decides he wants to remarry. How would that man know if he has the right to remarry? He simply needs to ask himself, do I fit into the exception of Matthew 19:9? Am I an individual who has put away my spouse for fornication? If the answer is no, then the man cannot remarry, or else he will be an adulterer. Now, what if the reason the man divorced his wife was incompatibility? Let's say that he thought, I just can't get along with my wife, and so I'm going to divorce her. Could he remarry? No, he could not. He did not meet the exception of Matthew 19:9. Well, let's say that the man divorced his wife because he said, I just don't love her anymore. You know, that's one of the popular things we hear in the world today. I just don't love her anymore. Friends, I tell you, when I hear someone say that, I automatically assume the person is being unfaithful because I don't love her anymore. I've fallen out of love. Love is not a hole in the ground that we fall into and fall out of. Love is something that we do. It's something that we carry out. It's a decision and a commitment, not something that we fall into and fall out of. And I know that because Ephesians 5 and 25 commands, husbands, love your wives. This is not just an emotion. It's not something that happens by accident. It is a choice that we make. Well, under these circumstances, the man has put away his wife because he says, I just do not love her anymore. The man cannot remarry because he doesn't meet the exception of Matthew 19:9. You know what happens sometimes is we have people who play what we might call the waiting game. A man and his wife might mutually divorce because of incompatibility. They just cannot get along. And then each sits back and watches the other to see who will enter into a new relationship first. And the wife may see, after some period of time, that her husband remarries. And then she will say to herself, well, he has committed adultery. Now I'm free to marry. But the woman has missed the entire point of Matthew 19:9. Even though the woman's ex-husband has entered into a sinful, adulterous marriage, the woman doesn't have the right to remarry because she did not meet the exception of Matthew 19:9. She did not put away her spouse for fornication. She put him away for incompatibility. Well, someone says, this sounds awfully strict. Friends, apparently the Lord's disciples thought the same thing. I want you to notice the observation of the Lord's disciples in verse 10. When Jesus finished giving this exception and talking about marriage, verse 10 says, His disciples said to Him, If such is the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to marry. The disciples were essentially saying, This is really strict, Lord. If this is the way it's going to be, maybe we would be better not to marry. Now for those today who will say, I can't believe that God's law would be that strict. Or as some have said, I just cannot believe the Lord would expect me to live the rest of my life unmarried simply because we could not get along and divorced. Friends, to those who say that, they need to look at the comments of the Lord's disciples because they recognized that God's law on marriage is a strict one. But you know what the answer to all of these problems is? The answer to all of these problems is for men and women to be faithful to their vows and faithful to one another. And even better than that, for men and women to be faithful to the Lord. I knew a lady on one occasion, a single lady. She said that she was looking for a man who loved the Lord more than he loved her. And that's who she wanted to marry.